I'm reading Zechariah chapter 7 this evening. We studied last Thursday night, the first six verses, Zechariah 7, 1 to 6. So let's begin by reading number 6, just to review verses 6 and 7 and 8. If we can, let's go to Zechariah 7, chapter 7, beginning at verse 6 together. And when ye did eat, and when ye did drink, did not ye eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? Should ye not hear the words which the Lord hath cried to the former prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity, and the cities that were round about her, when men inhabited the south and the plain? And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, all right, 6, 7, and 8. Remember, Zechariah was one of how many prophets after the exile came? Three prophets. And what were the names of those three prophets after the exile? Haggai,
Malachi,
Zechariah. And what captivity did they return from?
Babylon.
How many years were they there?
70.
Why were they there in Babylon 70 years? Bad people. Why? What made them bad? What did they do? Way over in Babylon, long ways away, hundreds and hundreds of miles away.
Disobeyed God.
Disobeyed God by what? Doing what?
Sinning.
And what kind of sin did they participate in?
Idolatry.
All that went with it, with the fornication and all the things, breaking God's law. Did God want them to go into captivity? Was that his primary will?
No.
No, his primary. What did he want them to do?
Repent
and change your ways and come back. Does he want us to have trouble in our lives if we're saved and born again?
No.
No, he doesn't. But if we do, what does he do? If we sin, what does our Father do if we're saved and born again?
Chastises,
according to Hebrews chapter 12. That's right. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call, give us an email, tell us you're listening. Ask some questions and comments on this Zechariah chapter 7. Eva?
I don't believe everything bad that happens to us is because of our sin.
Did I say that?
Well, that's what you inferred, I thought.
No, I said if we do sin, does God want us to sin? He doesn't want us, but if we do sin, what might he do to us?
What might he do to us?
Chastise us, according to Hebrews chapter 12. He wants to bring us back to the straight way, and he wanted to bring the people back. But 70 years of captivity, now Zechariah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, those prophets, are prophesying to these people that have been with heathen for 70 years. Do you think they absorbed some of the heathen stuff?
Yes.
You better believe they did. They were sent people that just didn't know what to do. So these prophets were very important to straighten those people out, just like the Word of God is important to straighten us out, even those of us who are saved, to be sure we're on the right path. Yes,
sir. Bad company corrupts morals.
That's exactly right. That's 1 Corinthians 15. I don't know the exact verse, 15, 53. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. That's right. Evil communications, associations, corrupt good manners. That's exactly right.
Even though we're saved, we still have to review God's Word.
Saved must review God's Word, and remember the old flesh wants to do what the flesh wants to do, sin. The Holy Spirit that's within us wants us not to sin. Who wins the battle? We have to be strong in the Spirit of God, lest the flesh get a hold of us.
It's tough, because we got a sinning nature from Adam.
Sinning nature from Adam, that's right. And some Christians teach that the sin nature can be overcome and completely eradicated. Is that true or false?
It's false.
Until we die and have a new nature, have a new body, that old nature is still with us. We're supposed to control that old nature, according to Galatians, a battle between the flesh and the spirit, back and forth. Amen?
Then they're quite surprised when they fall into sin. Then they think they're not safe.
That's a terrible thing. We have a friend of ours who thinks because they fell into sin that they're lost. Is that scriptural?
No.
No, it's not.
If they're really saved.
Nobody can pluck anyone from
them. Nobody can pluck them out of God's hand. If they're genuinely saved, they're saved for eternity. That's true.
Amen.
So in verse number 6, Zechariah reminds them that they were just being selfish, eating for themselves, drinking for themselves, not for the Lord. Then in verse 7, the question, that's for tonight we begin, the question is asked. A big, long verse, all of it a question. What's the first part of that verse? Is that important? Verse 7. What's that first part? Should you not hear the words that the Lord hath cried by his former prophets? That's a very important question. Is it important to hear the words?
Yes.
Of God, absolutely. To hear, and not only to hear, but to
endure them
and to obey them. there's one kind of hearing, one kind of understanding, one kind of actually doing. Do you really hearken? That's a good word, hearken. You may hear, but do you hearken? In other words, you fulfill what's there. Who would be the former prophets?
Isaiah, Jeremiah.
Could be. And also, now they're called latter prophets, the former. It could be Isaiah and Jeremiah, some of the former. And sometimes the early writers were called prophets, were they not?
Samuel.
Like Samuel and some of these early, the time of the judges and so on, the early prophets. When did they write in verse 7? When did these former prophets write? What were the conditions? Jerusalem was inhabited. And what else?
And in prosperity.
In prosperity. So was this before or after the captivity?
Before
the captivity. Now, if they had heard the words of the Lord and fulfilled them and done them, would there have been a captivity?
No.
No, if they had been faithful to the Lord, he would have kept them in the land. You remember, it says very clearly in Deuteronomy and also in Exodus, and God warns them. In fact, one of the commandments of God, Exodus chapter 20, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and then that thy days may be long upon the earth, this land where thou gavest. See, none of these are fulfilled God's law in the Old Testament. They would fulfill many years in Palestine, but if they didn't obey, then they wouldn't be long upon the land. That was one of the promises. In prosperity. And then the cities round about her as well were prosperous. When men inhabited the south and the plain. So, should you not hear the words of the Lord? That's a rhetorical question. Or is the answer definitely is what?
Yes.
Yes, we should hear the words of the Lord. And today, it is important to hear the words of the Lord today. It is important that unsaved people hear the words of the Lord.
Yes.
It is important.
Faith comes by hearing.
Hearing by the word of the Lord. Is it important for Bible-believing saved people hearing the words of the Lord? For saved as well as the lost.
Yes.
Lost and saved as well, that we may grow thereby. This is what it says in 1 Peter, does it not? Grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so take heed that, what's that other that ye may grow thereby?
2 Peter 3, sanctify the word,
that ye may grow thereby. 2 Peter, that's right. So, hear the words of the Lord, prosper. And then in verse number 8, what came upon Jeremiah to Zechariah?
Word of the Lord.
So he spoke to this prophet, and here he's going to tell him specifically what he wanted to do. Let's read verses 9, 10, and 11 together. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. But they refused to hearken, and pulled away the shoulder, and stopped their ears, and they should not hear. Verse 9, speaketh the Lord of hosts. What's the first thing the Lord told Zechariah to preach to the people? First command, first thing he said.
True judgment.
What does it mean to execute true judgment?
Be honest, I guess.
Honest judgment? What is judgment?
Upholding the word of Scripture.
The word of Scripture and being...
There's different aspects of judgment.
All right. Name a few.
Well, it sometimes has to do with discernment.
Discernment? Or
sometimes it has to do with it's connected, discernment is connected with some type of penalty or punishment.
All right. If there's a lack
of discernment.
Lack of discernment.
There's a certain judgment, so that's...
What's the opposite of true judgment?
False.
All right. What's that then?
It's connected with mercy.
All right, that's another part, another phrase. All right. But true judgment, a judge...
You can't genuinely show true mercy without true judgment.
All right, the judges that render judgments, render decisions from the bench... are they always true? Are they always profitable? Sadly not. They're not always true, not always wholesome, but that's the first thing that he says right here. The Lord told them to exercise true judgment. What's the second thing God told Zechariah to tell
them? Show mercy.
Show mercy. What is mercy? How would you define mercy? Questions at bfdbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call. Tell us you're listening and say hello. What is true? What is mercy?
Not getting something you deserve, I guess.
Not getting something. When God is merciful to us, He doesn't give us something we really deserve. He's merciful, not getting something we deserve. That's certainly a definition, isn't it, of mercy? And they're to show mercy. They're to show true judgment and mercy.
And compassion.
And compassions. Every man to his brother. What is compassions? What does that mean?
Kindness.
Kindness. Understanding.
Caring.
Love. Feelings of caring and compassion. So true mercy. And now, sometimes people forgive great, great debts and are merciful to people. Remember the creditors that came to the Lord, one owed quite a few hundreds of whatever it was, and the other owed 70. One was 700, one was 70, something like that. Mm-hmm. And the one that was forgiven for 700, a large number of pieces of money, was forgiven. What did he do to the other one that owed him a smaller amount?
The one who was forgiven wouldn't forgive.
Wouldn't forgive. So that's why the Lord says we should forgive. If we've been forgiven, we ought to be forgiving as well. So, merciful kindness. What did the two that went into the temple to pray? There were two different outlooks on the thing, the Pharisee and the sinner, the publican. What did the Pharisee say in the temple?
He bragged.
He bragged, I'm glad that I'm not like this terrible fellow over there. I tithe and I do all these things. What did the publican say?
God be merciful
to me, a sinner. Merciful. That's all God can do. Those of us who are sinners, all of us are sinners, and the only way we can be saved is because of His mercy and His grace and giving us a Savior. And but God, who is rich in mercy for the great love of the beloved, says right there in the book of Ephesians, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. His great mercy, rich in mercy. So be merciful and be compassionate. And that means have consideration, every man, to his brother. What brother would this be? What type of brother would this refer to?
Inheriting. Yes, could,
could it mean a brother in Christ?
Could be a brother, of course, in the Old Testament, but it could be a brother of the flesh, or it could be the brother of the national person, like the fellow Jews, fellow Hebrews, you know, people that are like our sister, those that are not necessarily related, but in the family, of Israel and Jews. So, if every man to his brother.
Dr. Yes, would that also include unbelievers?
Well, probably maybe so. Those that are round about, you know, people that are close by, so be compassionate. So, for other people, maybe as not only his close friends, not only his people that are Jews, but maybe other people as well, yes, in a general sense. Was it?
But would it mean specifically unbelievers?
It probably would mean specifically to his brother, in other words, his brother Jews, I suppose, coming back from. But I think in a relative sense, it could be all the people, see. Not that they're brothers spiritually, if they're lost, they're at least their fellow citizens of the country, for example. So in that sense, you could extend it maybe, but. We've got that mercy and compassion, but what does the Lord say about those Christians? What is our attitude to be for those that are lost? What's the command in the New Testament?
We're called to love them.
What is it?
We're called to love.
Called to love the love that
despitefully use us.
That's right. Even those that despitefully use us.
So are we called to love those that differ with us?
Yes, well? I think so, and. We're to love the, certainly the brethren. There are many brethren that differ with us. Christian people that differ very strongly. I always try to manifest love for the brethren, but despising what the brethren teach falsely, but love the brethren. See, the people,
it's hard to distinguish.
It's hard to distinguish, but I said that last Saturday when I had our five-hour discussion of the Dean Burke of the Bible for Today. And the Dean, again, was the King James Bible, again, in a minute here. When we had the five-hour discussion, I said, now we love the brethren from Baptist University and other places that differ with us. The brethren, fine, but the things that they believe, we cannot accept, we cannot agree with, we differ completely, strongly. But the people we must love. So,
can I ask a question?
Sure.
On people that are not saved, people that we encounter in our lives, aren't we supposed to love these people?
Yes.
Hate the sin like God hates sin?
Yes, I think that's right. Love the people, hate the sin, absolutely.
Okay.
That's right. Do good to them that despise you, as it says in the...
That's what Jerry Falwell said when he was alive.
Uh-huh.
He said that he doesn't just hate homosexuals. Mm-hmm. He hates the sin.
The sin.
Okay. And he also said that when he made up with Larry Flint, the publisher of Hustler magazine,
mm-hmm.
he said, which is a pornographic magazine.
Yes.
He said to him, and they made up. They shook hands. Because he said something about it in the magazine. It was a joke, but anyway, he made up and he mm-hmm. said to Larry King, he said to Larry Flint, and they shook hands, he says, I love you as a brother, he says, but I don't like what you publish.
Right. Well, that's what compassions, mercy, every man is brother. Then in verse 10, there's some more commands the Lord gave to Zechariah. What's this first part of this verse 10 command?
Press not the widow.
Press not the widow. What does oppress mean?
Push down.
Push down and
do you think
maltreat. Yes, Vaughn?
Do you think this was a thing that it was done a lot to widows?
Maybe so.
Make them feel like nothing?
Yes, maybe so. Do we have any widows in our congregation, those that listen by way of internet?
We do. In our congregation, you don't have to go to the internet.
You don't have to go, but what do you mean those that listen to us on the internet?
Oh, I don't know. I guess so.
You guess so? You're not sure?
Mrs. Sherrill's widows.
Who are the widows we have? Do we have any widowers in our congregation?
Yeah, we have
Miss Online.
Miss Weber.
Mrs. Weber is certainly a widow.
She's a widow.
Who else?
Mr.
Carroll's a widower. Yeah. That's right. And how about the internet family?
Now, is Mrs. Noyle a widow?
Mrs. Noyle is a widow. That's right. Who else in the internet family? And Reno, who
else? Mrs. Crowder.
Mrs. Crowder, Robert Crowder's a widow. Have we caught every one of them? Do we know?
I don't know. We can't keep track.
Well, but as far as we know.
Maybe someone could help us.
Pardon me?
Maybe somebody could
if
help
someone
us.
If someone could help us, give us a call, 856-261-9018, or email questions@bftbc.org. But we're not to oppress the widow. Why do you suppose God told them not to do that?
Because they were probably oppressing them.
Probably were.
They probably weren't helping them. You're supposed to.
Yes.
In the New Testament, you're supposed to have widows that are indeed. I'm sorry, I didn't.
That's right. Widows are indeed. That's right.
But if a widow has family, the mm-hmm. family's supposed to take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
A widow indeed is one who has nobody to take care of them and who supports the church, sort of like.
Uh huh. Is friends of the church and faithful to the Lord.
Widow indeed has to be
60 years of age or whatever.
60.
Mm-hmm. Uh huh. Certain qualifications and having. Nourished young people of different things. So, yes, Antoinette.
I was going to say, because these people are most naturally overlooked, is what the problem is, and that's why God tells us. Just like most men have problems loving their wives, and that's why God mm-hmm. commands husbands to love their wives, mm-hmm. because it's difficult.
It's very difficult.
It's difficult.
These wives, absolutely.
Yeah, I would think that.
But God commands it, absolutely.
Exactly.
And that's why we do it.
And I think widows are sometimes overlooked.
Sometimes overlooked?
Yeah, and the orphans are overlooked.
That's right. And sometimes the widows are taken advantage of by means of, did your husband leave you any money? How about parting with some of that money? Give me a little of your money. See, a lot of times widows are pushed upon, especially rich widows, give me some money, so they can be taken advantage of. We're not to oppress them. What does a widow not have that a married woman with a husband and wife together do have? What are the absences there?
The support.
Support.
Support. Emotionally and financially.
Support and financially, taking care of and companionship, all these things. And so this is why God, in fact, throughout the whole Old Testament, God warns, take care of the widow, take care of it. All the way through, many, many references to that. It says to someone, I think it was Job, he made the widow to sing for joy, something to that effect in Scripture. I think it's in Job. He made the widow's heart to sing for joy. I think of the widow that we introduced to a husband, our friend Barbara Rogers. Bob Rogers died, and we're held to be with the Lord, and we found a widower here in this area whose wife had also died, and we brought them together, and we're very glad to see. So George Purnell and Barbara Purnell married, and that was it. So sometimes it's good to go to widows. Heart, sing for joy. So don't oppress a widow. Who else in verse 4?
Fatherless.
The fatherless. What is a fatherless person?
Orphan.
An orphan, all right.
Could have a mother.
Could have a mother. But fatherless, and you think of without, what is the status of fatherless people?
They have no father.
All right, what else? Is that difficult to do?
Married.
Question to PFCB.org or 856-261-9018. Nobody to support, nobody to have a, what is it?
No one to protect.
No one to protect them.
Sort of sad.
Yes.
There's hundreds of children in other countries that are running around with nothing.
Yes. And of course, there's so-called single women also. Single mothers that have no father. Maybe never had a marriage, but just simply checked up and they have babies. But the fatherless, the widows and the fatherless, throughout this Old Testament, God puts in a good word for widows and fatherless people.
Now, if these children get adopted, then they're not fatherless no more.
Yeah, that's true. If they get adopted, that would be fine. They would be, but those without any assistance, without any help, and do some children... Are some children brought up as if they were fatherless?
Yes.
What do I mean by that?
Absolutely.
What do I mean by that? Tammy's had a lot of experience with some of those.
Well, their fathers maybe aren't involved, or maybe they're involved in the wrong way, or they're terrible examples, or not godly men.
Yes. Yeah. I taught them for 19 years in the school district of Philadelphia, and junior high, and 1 year for senior high, and many of them, they just seemed like if they had fathers, they certainly didn't train them very well, or didn't do much for them. They had very little respect for teachers or for right and wrong. But don't oppress the fatherless. Don't oppress the widows. Be try. Who else in verse number 10 should there be no oppression?
Stranger.
What would a stranger be? How would you define a stranger from this standpoint here?
Who's unknown.
Well, that would be possible. What else?
Someone who's a foreigner to the country.
Probably a foreigner to the country. Probably not a Jew. Probably a stranger. In other words, a Gentile. Someone like that. And don't oppress them. Were they strangers in a strange land for 70 years? They certainly were. All the people in Babylon treated them as a stranger. And so don't oppress and knock down the stranger. Now, we have strangers that are strange to us. We don't know them. We're not to oppress them even today. We're to take care of you.
Ruth was a stranger.
Yes, she was. What was her origin?
She was a Moabite.
Moabite. She was a Moabitess from Moab, and she was accepted and adopted, and Ruth took her under. Is it Ruth?
Naomi.
She not even took Ruth under wing, and Orpah too, but Orpah stayed there where she was in Moab, but Ruth came with Naomi. Yeah.
I think it says that for 10 generations they weren't supposed to enter into the temple.
That's right, because they were.
But yet, King David was before 10 generations.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, that somehow God, in His grace and His mercy, just permitted that.
Permitted that, absolutely. That's right, and the Ammonites and the Moabites. Because they said, questions at BFTPC.org, 856-261-9018. Nothing?
No, nothing yet.
All right, okay. 856-261. All right. And what else did not to express? The widow or the fatherless, the stranger, who else?
The poor.
The poor. Who would the poor be?
That's true. They don't have much.
They don't have much, all right. We try to take care of the poor. Of course, this is in Israel's day, but we, by application and implication, we can certainly do the same to help as much as we can, not to oppress, not to knock them down, hit them over the head, and berate them, and do evil to them, and oppress them. And of course, poverty is, by definition, depends on what definition you make. Are the poor in this country by the same standard poor, say, in Africa or China or some other place?
Some of them are.
Some of them are?
Yeah, there are some really poor people.
But are they as poor generally, what we call poor?
Yes.
As poor in other countries?
We do have some in certain regions within the United States where the poor are really, really dirt poor.
What are the wages of those in foreign countries, such as in Africa and different things?
They die.
How much a day or a week or a year or a month do they make?
Nothing.
From nothing to...
Many of them are nothing at all, and there are some people here in the United States that are like that, too.
Well, that's true, and of course, they've got the government to feed them.
Some of them don't have the government to help them either.
Well,
there's some real bad sections.
Virginia.
Yeah.
Different.
But if they apply it properly, they probably would have to governmental aid. But some of the foreign countries, I mean, you're talking about $200, maybe $2 a day, something very small amount. But in this country, generally speaking, what is the poverty level from how many thousand and below?
I don't remember.
Well, those that are 10,000, 15,000 and below, something like that.
Yeah, it's higher than that.
It's higher than that, 20,000, 30,000.
Yes,
30,000 low, they call it poor.
10,000.
Yeah. See, but you see, you think of all that we have here, they're still poor, but by the standards overseas, those are rich
people. There's more poor people overseas than here.
Many more poor, but we're not to oppress the poor. Of course, the poor aren't to take advantage of the other people either. We've got to be very careful not to steal from those that do have funds. But we're not to oppress the poor.
We got to be careful, because there's a lot of people that are out there that we see. And you go into major cities, you see them begging for money. And they look, they say they're poor, they lost their job, and they're sitting there, and you know. But many of them are collecting government benefits. Mm-hmm. They collect Social Security, they collect, among other things. And what they do is, they'll take the money, and you ask them, I'll give you some money, and then what happens is, they'll take it, and they'll do it for everybody. But then what happens if your ass goes, I'll buy you a sandwich, mm-hmm. or I'll take it, or get you something to eat. They become very arrogant, uh-huh. because they want money for other things, probably for cigarettes or for alcohol.
Alcohol or drugs or something. Yeah. So we've got to be, but not to oppress.
So the poor in the United States is not like some third world countries, because we see, I mean, everybody here, you always see how poor they are. They always are wearing clothes, they have a coat for the winter.
Yeah.
You go into some countries where some of them just have rags around them.
Right.
And they'll lay outside with, and they'll eat bugs.
Mm-hmm.
They will catch a mouse and eat it. So in third world countries, mm-hmm. the poverty is much stronger, because there's, in this country, anybody that is poor can always get benefits from the government.
In the cities,
and
not
in the
cities, not in the countries?
Not in part, in the country, in the hills. You know, there are many regions, especially in the Ozark Mountains,
mm-hmm.
Where these people really are poor.
Mm-hmm. What did the Lord say about the poor?
The poor will be with you always.
The poor you have with you always. What did Pastor Algina say when he had a substitute preacher? Not himself. Pastor Eugene of Bethel Baptist Church.
Concerning himself, he said it.
Concerning himself.
The poor you'll have with
the
you
The poor you have with you always, but now we have a special speaker that's going to come. He's down to himself with the poor. See, there's a poor in preaching. See, it wasn't true. He's a good preacher. Attend?
Well, there'd be poor in other ways. You used that example, but I wasn't thinking of that.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking of, you could be poor morally, yep. or spiritually, or...
Spiritual poverty, mm-hmm. that's right. And moral poverty, there's all kinds of poverty, not just financial poverty. Mm-hmm. So oppress not the poor, absolutely. And then the last part of verse number 10, very difficult to obey. What is the last part of verse 10? Anna.
Dear Pastor Wayne, I just want to say hello to everyone and thank you for the Bible study. We are listening here in California from Joe and Norma Fazio.
Oh, good. Thank you, Joe and Norma. Joe, I forgot to call you for a hymn tonight. I apologize. We'll text you on Sunday. All right? Forgot all about Joe. Or maybe I did call him. He wasn't there. No, I don't think I forgot Joe. That's it. So, thank you for that call. Questions at BATBC.org or 856-261-9018. Yeah, I forgot you, Joe. Forgot tonight. Slipped up. Don't we often do that. Joe usually gives a hymn. So The last part of verse 10 is what?
Don't imagine evil against your brother in your heart.
Now, what does that mean, imagine? What does imagine mean?
You can imagine a lot of things, because people maybe look at you funny, then you imagine things about them. Maybe they don't come to church one Sunday, then you imagine things about them. Maybe they don't look at you and speak to you, and then you imagine things about them.
What does imagine mean? What would be the definition of that word imagine?
Make up stuff.
Well, make up. Dramatize in your mind.
Dramatize, something to do with the mind. It is imagine.
It's easy to do.
It's in the mind. It's in the mind. Don't imagine evil.
And I don't know about the evil part.
Imagine evil against his brother in your heart. Now, why is it confined to the heart?
Because that's where everything out of the heart comes.
Out of the heart comes the actions. And so this is a good thing. In fact, this phrase I put in the thing at the Faith Baptist Church in our, what do you call that thing that you...
Constitution.
That's constitution, but at the end.
Bylaws?
The agreement. What do you call that?
Covenant?
Covenant. Church covenant. I put that phrase right in that church covenant. I remember this. None imagine evil in his heart against his brother. It's interesting. Is that easy or hard to do?
It's hard to do.
Hard to do.
Hard to imagine evil or what?
Hard to fulfill this. Hard to obey this. It is difficult.
I don't exactly imagine evil. Sometimes you can imagine stuff that sounds evil.
But in other words, to have a good attitude toward our brothers. These are people, probably Jewish people, but in the church today, what's it then?
Well, if the standard is the Word of God, and we think of Philippians 4:8, and finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. I mean, if anything falls below that standard, then it's not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So even if we think that what we're thinking isn't bad, it may be bad if it's not good.
Yeah.
If it doesn't meet God's standard.
Yeah. That's right. Imagination is part of thinking, isn't it? We're to think what things are pure, Anna?
Well, if we, like, sometimes we can, with our imagination, run away with us. Like, if we're walking along and we see a shadow, we may jump and start panicking, and it's just our own shadow.
That's true.
Or...
So there's lots of things we have in our minds and imagination.
About other people, they may be, if we don't understand, we can't really judge someone when we first meet them, because we don't know why they're behaving the way they do. We may think they're behaving that way for a particular reason, but they may be behaving that way for a completely different reason,
mm-hmm.
and we don't have enough information to make an accurate judgment.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
We have an email here.
All right, email, questions at bfbc.org. Go ahead, Anna.
It is self-defined. That's from Canada's Oil Province. My Bible for today, brethren. Blessing, peace, and grace to all at BFTBC and everyone listening in. At times, my mother and I are able to listen in. The church in my house, by Lumen 4, is an excellent and helpful to us all. The blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ be upon you all. I can't say enough of my appreciation of you all. P.S. I believe God's grace is especially on the widow. Also, the souls of the younger folks, I believe, must cherish the widow people in our hearts. The Lord uses the attention that our people place on the widow's care, keeps us out of trouble, and thinking about the Lord's perfect will, rather than our own concerns. This is the Lord Jesus Christ's plan for the churches to be self-sufficient by His grace, to be co-laborers in our trials. By the Lord's will and in His grace, Brother Joel Beanblossom.
Joel Beanblossom. Again, Joel, thank you for that.
His mother,
and his mother. That's very good.
Mrs.
Appreciate that. And so, Joel, we're glad to hear from you last week, and then this week again, the second time. We're glad that you're going to come to us July 27, 28 to our Dean Burgon Society meeting. That's great. Joel, bring us some questions at bftcb.org or 856-261-901. Yeah, Anna?
We have another message from Canada. Tonight's Bible study and prayer. Hello, Pastor Wade, everyone present and via the internet. Thank you for the time of prayer and the wonderful Bible study tonight. Oh, is this from Canada? Anne Marie Noyle.
Yes, from Canada. Thank you, Anne Marie. Yes, she's from Canada. Absolutely. Praise the Lord. So, now, talking about imagination, is there any New Testament verse that has to do with imaginations?
Breaking down imaginations.
Casting down imaginations on every high thing that exalteth itself of the knowledge of Christ. In 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, 2 Corinthians, casting down every imagination. So we've got to be careful of imagination, our thoughts. Our thought life should be up to the Lord's standards. Yvonne?
Well, there's good imaginations, like when I'm writing.
Yes, but every thought that gets contrary to Christ, that's the thing. Imagine, yes.
Because sometimes we have thoughts that really aren't our own thoughts, because we have an enemy out there who would pop things in our head. And I think they did some scientific studies on that and found that not every thought that we have is from our brain. There's an outside, spiritual force that forces us. So we need to cast those thoughts down.
That's right.
How do you know the difference?
Well,
the Word of God,
the Scripture, yes. Any other comment? We're going to stop right here at verse 10, but do you have any other comments? Question, Anna?
Why not with the Scripture?
Never mind, I'm just having a complaint against my forgetfulness. One of them,
you'll get used to it.
Go ahead and complain about it. What is it?
I just couldn't remember the reference of a particular verse.
Casting down every imagination?
Yes, but I found it.
2 Corinthians chapter 5?
No, 2 Corinthians 10.
Chapter 10.
Verse 5.
Verse 5. Oh, I got the 5 in there. All right. 10, 5. Read it for us.
I'll start.
You're in Spanish.
In verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled.
Okay, casting down all imaginations against Christ. Any other comments or questions before we close tonight? All right, let's close then.
I do have something. Don't say I'm bragging or something. But
well, brag away.
I don't mean to brag.
Okay, then don't brag away.
In the Lord.
Just say it.
It's not on the lesson, but it's sort of a prayer request. For some reason, we go to lots of doctors. And for some reason, the doctors read your books and they listen to when I give them my radio programs, they listen to them.
Good.
And the doctor I went to today, Dr. Obanian, when I first met her, she was very much against receiving my radio program, which they can receive them and just throw them out if they want to. I mean, she was very almost to the rude point, and she didn't even want a calendar. And I said, a calendar won't hurt you. So when I saw her, I just saw her today, but when I saw her a couple weeks ago, she said, oh, thank you, I will listen to this. And today when I saw her, she said, of her own free will, I didn't bring anything because I didn't want to overpower her.
Right.
She said, I haven't heard your tape yet, but I'm going to listen to it.
Good. She's getting warmer and warmer.
I don't understand it, but I wish we'd pray for these. We have Dr. Marmar. He reads anything that comes to him through the email.
Yes.
And he also... I give him your books. I give him a husband loving book. I would give him more out, but they are so expensive. And he listens to my tapes, and I know it because he talks about it.
Yes, he's a Jewish doctor.
Our girl doctor, our lady doctor.
Dr. Burke.
Mm-hmm. She listens to my radio programs. My dentist. He listens.
Yes.
I know he does, because he has to drive back and forth to Richmond. Richmond area a lot, so he has nothing else to do. He actually listens. And my own family hardly listens.
Well, at least you have some listeners, that's good.
And I mean, I wish you'd just pray for these doctors.
Yes, we ought to pray for them.
I was sitting here thinking about that.
Any other comments or questions before we close tonight? All right, now let's close in with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the words of Zechariah, thy words to him, telling him and his people what to do, what not to do. Help us to not oppress any of these groups that are listed here, the widows or the fatherless or the poor, others, Lord. We ask thee that thou mayest not imagine evil against our brothers and sisters in Christ, those that are saved, those that are born again. Help us to encourage one another. And bring us back safely on the Lord's Day. Continue to bless and use those who are here in our church tonight, those that are listening by the internet, many listening that have not said hello or not written in, but we know they're listening, and we ask thee for them and for their lives. Take care of them and use them and bless their ministries. Thank thee for those we've heard from, for Joe and Norma, and for Joel Bean Blossom, and the messages that have come. Guide us and direct us now as we leave. Bring us back safely on the Lord's Day. And may our Savior be exalted in our midst and in our own lives. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.
And Rob was sick.
Thank you for coming. And Rob was sick, yes.
He was pretty sick.